So welcome to God's house this morning. And we're just going to continue with the series that Pastor Benson has been taking us through. Who remembers what the title is? Okay, thank you. So actually the title is, it's been a series. This is like the fourth, I think, part. And it's titled, This Is How I ... But basically that's just an opening sentence to say, this is how I, and then fill it in. And Pastor Benson has been taking us through how we need to rethink and live today. One of the things that I got from last week's sermon is, do not postpone your life. And I think a lot of us are guilty of that. So I'm just going to continue in that direction. You know, when Pastor was talking about that, talking about those points last week, that really hit me, because I think a lot of us, as I said, we always think, oh, if all these points are ticked off, if I have that perfect job, my life will be good. But I tell you, your life is good from now. As long as you have Jesus in your life is good. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to continue from that. And obviously, in line with the theme, this is how I, and I filled it in with saying, this is how I truly enjoy and live the life God gave me. Tell someone next to you, said, do not postpone your life. Yes. I have to hold myself back when I do that thing. I saw something on Instagram where there was a lady, she was complaining. She said, man, if I go to another church where they say, tell your neighbor, and I'm like, sorry. But I think it's good for us to speak the words out and let the devil hear. Amen. So in looking at that, this is how I truly enjoy and live the life that God gave me. I'd just like to take us through four points today by the grace of God. So I'd like you, if you do have your notepad or your tablets, please do follow and take these points down, or this sermon is going to be recorded. So in order to enjoy the life that God gave us, we need to do the following points. And the first one I wrote down is that you need to know that you are already in God's will. You need to know that wherever you find yourself in, you need to know that you're already in God's will. Then the second point, which is a little bit interesting, is I wrote, in order to enjoy your life that God gave you, you need to enjoy your trials. Enjoy your trials. And the third point is, we need to learn to enjoy our life, even in the time of shaking, which is very, very pertinent to the times we're living in now. And lastly, do not focus on the past. Okay. So I'll be taking us through those four points individually, and we're going to be looking at God's word. Amen. Father, Lord, we thank you because the Spirit of God will explain every word to every heart, and it will meet them at the point of their need in the name of Jesus. I thank you because Satan, the blood of Jesus, is against you. Amen. So just going back to the first point, we need to know that we're already in God's will. And I was just thinking that we're all guilty of it. A lot of us, sometimes when we look at our life, we think, oh, I'm not in God's will because we have made how someone else's life look, our blueprint, or TikTok, or Instagram. For those of us who were born maybe outside the 1980s, TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and all these things, the social media platform. And this is where people post all different things. And I just want to read a story about a man to you. So we're focusing on, we need to know that we are already in God's will. So I want to tell you a story about a very famous man. I'm sure we might all know him. So his mother, this man, his mother got pregnant out of wedlock. Whilst growing up, he lived a modest life. His parents were not the richest, but they gave him what they could afford. In fact, When he was born, he could not afford to be born in a proper hospital. That's how bad it was. His parents did the best for him to have an education. However, he did not go to university. He didn't buy a house. He didn't even own a place of his own. In fact, he went from one place to another with the help of friends and family just to have somewhere to stay. People around him had great careers. Some of them were doctors, some of them were lawyers. He just had a regular job. He didn't pursue a career. He didn't get married. He didn't have any children. However, whilst growing, he did have friends and family support, but to some people, they didn't understand him. And so some people judged him. Some people hated him. And after all of that, he died young. Does anyone know who I'm talking about? Who am I talking about? Okay. This same man who you all got right is Jesus. He did not accomplish all those things, but I wrote here, even more than 2,000 years later, the history books know him. The modern world identified that he lives. Religion knows him. And even today, when we call his name, there's power in his name. How many of us have gone through half the things that Jesus went through? But was Jesus in God's will? So, one of the points we need to know before is that whatever you're going through now, you are in God's will. Every life looks different. My life, the life Jesus walked, all, everything looked different. And the Bible is full of different men and women who live different lives. And actually, the likes of Daniel, the likes of Moses, but they were all great men and women of God. So in going through this sermon this morning, I'd like us to, you know, focus mostly on looking at Jesus. You know, when I was looking at this sermon, I wanted to keep in line with what Pastor was preaching about enjoying the life we live. Because Satan tries to rob us, even in this time. And I was thinking of, oh, maybe we should use Daniel, or maybe we should use Job, or maybe we should use Joseph. But I'm going to focus on Jesus' lifestyle and what we can learn from him. So we're still looking at knowing that you are in God's will. I'd like us to go to a scripture, please. I'd like us to go to, if you can help me with it on the board, Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is a wonderful psalm. In fact, if you can, read that whole psalm. But this morning, I'd like to focus on Psalm 37, verse 23 to 24. So how do I know? I'm not here, like Pastor said, we are not, he's not a YouTube pastor, neither am I some YouTube motivational. No, everything we're saying is from God's word. Psalm 37, verse 23 to 24. Okay, I'll read. It says, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." I think another translation says, "For the step of the righteous man has been ordained by God." Who is righteous in this house? Wave your hands if you're righteous. We are all righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. So, don't let the whisper of hell tell you that, oh, you're not in God's will just because things look a bit funny. Let me tell you, you are in God's will. Amen. Another thing I'd like to talk to us about as well is the second point, enjoying your trials. You know that I'm sure many people here, we don't want to go through trials, right? Is there anyone here who wants to go through trials? Okay, it must be really hot in here. But let me tell you something. Trials are part of everyday life. And you know what? We need to enjoy our trials. One of the scriptures that I shared on Friday in the Bible study that came to me this week when Pastor brought up this topic is Philippians 4:4. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord." when I have a new job, rejoice in the Lord when I have a new sports car, like Pastor wanted a sports car with two doors, even though he has a family of four. Rejoice in the Lord when I have £1 million in the bank. No, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And the Holy Spirit said, in case you forget, he said, and again, I tell you, rejoice. And one of the things that I've learned here is, do you know that this thing called happiness, I wrote here, happiness cannot be triggered, neither can happiness be created. How many of us wanted something so bad? It could be maybe a car or a new house, what have you, and you got it, and then after, let's say a month, it's like you want the next thing, right? Happiness cannot be created, and happiness cannot be triggered by these things. Yeah, I heard driving in that someone spent, is it 30 billion on a wedding and took over the whole of a country? Yeah, that got me thinking about when I got married as well. Ever since I was like a teenager, and I believe this is maybe most of some of the girls, we won't tell you, I'm exposing the women in the house today, forgive me ladies. But most women, apart from other ambitions, one of the things that we dream about is what? Thank you. I like what she said, our wedding day and our wedding dress. Yes. I remember, even when it was time for me to get married, I didn't have to do any planning. You know why? From when I was 15, everything is already planned. Everything is already planned. I remember my husband, if he had his way, let's just go, put, you know, paper, sit down, put the chairs, put the tables. But I was like, no, the decoration has to be this way. You know, the dress has to be this way. And, you know, even though by the grace of God, I had a nice wedding, recently I went to a wedding shop and I was still admiring a wedding dress. You see how we are? This is the type of people God has made us. We are special people, isn't it, ladies? We are special people. But what am I trying to say? That you see that scripture, rejoice in the Lord always. Happiness is not triggered by these things. You choose to be happy. I am going to be happy. Happiness is a decision. It's not something that is triggered. And that's why the Bible says, it's an instruction. The Bible doesn't say, I will bless you with happiness. I will bless you with rejoicing. No, it said, you rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let the devil go mad and not understand, why is this girl rejoicing? I tell you something that happened to me recently, because I've learned some of these things. I've learned the hard way. You know, I came to the church and I gave a testimony and I said, oh, help me praise the Lord. You know, my contract is supposed to end in my job, but it got extended. All right? And then I went home, and maybe 2 weeks later, what did they say? We just write to tell you that your contract is ended. You see how the devil is? And the contract ended. And when that happened, I was like, oh, it's okay, you know. Your faith, you know, 1 week passes, your faith is like, God, you're on the throne. 2 weeks later, God, 3 weeks, a month, then the flesh starts to kick in. Then I went for an interview. I'm like, yeah, God, you know, I got this. Sorry, we regret to say that you didn't get this job. Then you go for a second interview. Okay, God is just testing my faith. We work by faith and not by sight. This job is mine. Come on. I do prayers, hours, did worship night, a hallelujah challenge. Come on. This is my job. Went to the next interview. And you know what? There was one weird email that said, oh, you know what? The person at interview said, they liked you so much. You did so well. You have all the skills. Okay, but you didn't get the job. You understand? And so, you know, the devil played with my mind. The devil played with my mind. And there's something, the reason why I kind of expanded and dramatized what I went through is because even though I was praying, I was doing hallelujah challenge, doing all the things, but you know what? I was doubting. And there's a scripture, if I don't know if you can find it. I did want to put it there. The Bible says that whoever doubts, do not expect that you can receive anything from the Lord. So that means you can go to Hallelujah Challenge for 10 days, for 1 month, go on the prayer at the highest mountain. If you do not believe, the Bible says you cannot expect to receive anything from the Lord. And then one morning, this thing just came to me. You know, when my mind was being troubled, my husband was encouraging me. And then I said, wake up, girl. Why are you behaving like this? Why are you behaving as if you're not born of Christ? Why are you behaving like this? What is this month? You know, every month in this church, we have the month of signs and wonders and all of that. I claim the month. And I just surrounded myself with scriptures and stuff. And then my brain just clicked and I said, I'm in the will of God. The reason why I didn't get those other jobs is because it's not the will of God for my life. The Bible says the steps of the righteous is ordered by God. And you know what? I rested in God. There's a story I'd like us to read in a minute, because we're still looking at Jesus. How did Jesus enjoy his life? How did Jesus enjoy all the things he faced? And you know, I'm not saying that there's not a place for prayer. I'm not saying there's not a place for all this stuff. But let me tell you something. If you just pray without believing who you are in Christ, it's just exercise. And I tell you, there's just, in my mind, I just believed. I said, no, I'll come out of this. And I just started living my life rejoicing. Do you know that the next day, like film trick, they'll say, my phone rang. And funny enough, normally it's all these recruiters, people that are supposed to call you. They said, is this Josephine? My name is Josephine, by the way. Is this Josephine on the line? This is a director speaking. The director called me. Then I spoke to another director. Then before I know, like a joke, they're even saying, oh, you'll be good, you'll be good. I was like, is there not going to be an interview? They're like, oh, just have a chat with her. You know what? When you're in God, because it's not by your power, nor by your might, because you're in the will of God. The word of God, I believe, is in Proverbs. It says, the heart of the king is the hand of the Lord, and he turns it like the rivers of water. So that job that you're going is not by your might or your power. God has already ordained that you, if you do not give my daughter the job or my son the job, you're going to be like Pharaoh in the Bible, tossing and turning. They won't know what's happening to them, their employer. They'll just be seeing Josephine, 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 Josephine. Because the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And he turns it like the rivers of water. So what do you need to do in your day of trial? Enjoy your life. And this happens by trusting God. And how do we know this is scriptural? How does Jesus respond to trials? Let's read a story about what Jesus did in a time that seemed like a trial. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, verse 38 to 40. Mark chapter 4, verse 38 to 40. Some of us know this popular story. There's different versions. There's Matthew, but I like the Mark version of this story. So this is a story about Jesus. How does Jesus react in the face of storm? Mark chapter 4, verse 38 to 40, he says, Jesus was inside the boat sleeping with his head on a pillow. The followers went and woke him. They said, teacher, don't you care about us? We are going to drown. Jesus stood up and gave a command to the wind and water. He said, quiet, be still. Then the wind stopped and the lake became calm. He said to his followers, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And if I can add, I'm sure Jesus went back to sleep. So what do you do in a time of trial? You rest in God. Resting in God doesn't mean that you don't do anything or you are ignorant to the fact that there's storms around you. But as a child of God, you rest in God because it's already been written. Concerning your life, concerning whatever it is you're going to be, it's already been written. And one of the things I want to say is, if you notice, Jesus just rebuked the storm. Did Jesus pray long hours of prayers? Did he go and pay a prophet? I don't know how much they're charging now. You know, and say, pray for me and this and that. Did he book an appointment with someone? He said, you, wind and storm, I'm your creator. Be quiet, be still. In the time of trial, you need to rest in God. You need to rest in God. And it's something I want to address as well. So even in the time of trials, how can we still enjoy our lives in God? We need to be in the mode of prayer. Now, the kind of prayer I'm talking about is not like every, you know, person in my village that is causing me trouble and all of that. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray those prayers. But when you're in the mode of prayer, you're always conscious of God. You're always communing with God. So how do we know that this is the life that God lived? So many people judged him. So many people hated him. Sometimes Jesus, he's not even worried about, where am I going to sleep tonight? I'm not sure. How did Jesus even change his clothes? Like, who got him his shoes? But he wasn't really concerned about all those things. Let's look at how Jesus maintained this life of faith that he had. I've got two scriptures that shows us that Jesus was always in the mode of prayer. I can just read it out to you. You can make reference to it in your notes. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. This is Jesus. It says, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. I'll move to Mark 1:35. I'm just trying to give us examples of Jesus living a life of prayer. Mark 1:35. He said, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So in the time of trial, and even as a Christian, the Bible says pray without ceasing, right? But even in a time of trial, we need to be in a mode of prayer. And I want to say something. We don't pray to only get things from God. That's not really the crux of it. We don't even pray to pray against our enemies. We pray, why? Just to commune with God. The Bible says when your ways please him, he makes even your enemies at peace with him. So Jesus, he lived a life of prayer. So how do you enjoy your life in a time of trial? You need to be a prayerful person. And this prayer I'm talking about is just someone that communes with God. I mean, I'm saying it to myself as well. Sunday cannot be the last time to pray. You can't say, Lord, you know, this prayer, I'm praying today on Sunday, I'm praying ahead for the week. No. You need to commune with God. And we don't pray just to hold God to ransom or just to ask him for things. We pray because we just want to be close with him. We just want to develop our relationship with him. And I really want to focus on something here. How did Jesus say we should pray? Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. Amen. And there's a reason why I read that scripture, because we cannot go outside of God. God is the champion prayer warrior, okay? And this is the template he laid for us. And this leads me to one of the points that I'd like to say. You know, in the time of trial, I wrote it down here. I want to say how I wrote it. Okay. So we've talked about in the time of trial, you need to enjoy your life. You need to be in the time of trial. In order to enjoy your trial, you need to be in prayer mode. And then the third thing I want to say, which goes back to the prayer that we read. You see, in the time of trial, do not let your trials rob your service to God. Be conscious of him even in your trials. You know that sometimes when you're going through things, sometimes you just want to isolate yourself. Sometimes you feel like, why God even? But you know the greatest sacrifice, even in your trial, when you say, God, I will still serve you. God, I've been waiting on you for 50 years, but you know what? Even if not, I will still serve you. Do you know what I would do to God? And you're not doing it to blackmail God. But even in your trial, you need to serve God. Let's go back to that prayer that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 6, thank you. I'd like us to go to verse 10. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Even in my trial, Lord Jesus. Your kingdom come and your will be done. Even when you're going through your trials. Because I tell you, even as you're serving God, that would even take you from distractions. And even when you're serving God in the house of God, your faith will be built. When you serve God in trial, it's like your faith is demonstrated. Amen. Amen. Then the last thing, point, just because I know that today is Thanksgiving Sunday, and we have many lives and birthdays we want to celebrate. My last point is, you need to enjoy your life, even in the time of shaking. And yeah, I've come again with this is the last day's message thing. Just going to ride on what Pastor Benson was telling us last Sunday. He was just telling us in all our living this life, 2 Peter 1:3, that says God has given us everything that pertaineth to God in life and in godliness. It's a balance. So, even enjoy yourself in a time of shaking. I was listening to the radio yesterday. Sorry, I always listen to radio because I do a lot of driving. And I was listening to the radio, and the journalist? She asked a question. She said she was somewhere in a region, and she asked the person that she interviewed. She said, if there was war today, what are the three items you would take? I think the person said they would take their bird in a bird cage, maybe something precious to them. Some of us are laughing. Everything is precious to us. God forbid war or anything, but if there was war today, what would you take with you? What would you take with you? Someone said they'll take their husband. That's by default. A Bible and husband. That's by default. It's like, you must follow. Yeah? Do you know why I'm saying that? Is it when they say when rubber hits the ground or whatever? I want you to think about that question because, God forbid, that happens to any of us. But that's when you know that all these things that we gather is just occupying space. Like in my house right now, many things are occupying space, you know? So in a time of shaking, you need to enjoy your life because the reason why I'm saying that is because this is where you'll find what true happiness is. You know, like our sister in the Lord said, she didn't say she's going to grab her Gucci bag or her favorite shoes because I've seen her shoes. She's got loads of nice shoes. But she said her husband and her Bible. You see, in this time of shaking, where there's rumors of war, you don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know what's going to come through your door. God forbid, they say, someone was arguing with me the other day. They say, we were just talking. They were like, you know, all this stuff that is happening. If we get a letter through the door that we have to be enlisted in the army, she was like, do you know who's going to be enlisted? She said, like, the men would be enlisted. But if the men are over 45, they will leave them. But if the women, and women can be enlisted, but, you know, she was like, oh, but, you know, if you're not fit, they won't enlist you. So she was like, ah, if there's war, I'll make sure I'll just be drinking my Pepsi. I'll make sure that I'm not fit. Then when she said, when they're over 45, I was like, ah, my husband, ah. I tease him about his age, but I'm like, ah, he's past the benchmark. But I said, ah, but we that are still the young ones, well, God forbid, but I know that I'm just joking with that, but just to put it in perspective, in the time of shaking, let's say you have to live through the period of famine or whatever, how will you live your life? I have a scripture. This is how God wants us to live our life, even in a time of shaking. In the time of shaking, God expects us to live a righteous life. And what do I mean by a righteous life? Do I mean we should pray 12 times a day? Do I mean we shouldn't lie, we should be good? That's not what I mean by living a righteous life. I'd like us to go to a scripture in Genesis. In Romans chapter 4, verse 3. So in order to live and enjoy our life in a time of shaking, we need to live a righteous life. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. We learned on Friday that what makes you righteous? The Bible Pastor Benson, he directed us to the book of Hebrews that says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and he that comes to him must believe that he is. And that because that's what pleases God. You know what pleases God is when you believe that he is. And the Bible says it was credited unto Abraham as righteousness because he believed. So in the times of shaking, you need to believe God's word. You need to believe what he said about these times. There's a scripture that we always pray, Psalm 5, verse 12 or so. Anyway, it says that the Lord blesses the righteous. And he surrounds them with favor as a shield. So even in the time of shaking, do I need to worry about my job? No. In a time of shaking, do I need to worry about my life, my children? No. Because that scripture says that the Lord blesses the righteous and he surrounds them with favor as a shield. I often wondered, why is that favor as a shield? That favor will shield you in your job. When they're laying off people, because you're walking in righteousness, because you believed in Christ, it will make your enemies at peace with him. Also as well, one of the things that I wrote down as well here is, I wrote down Job, what Job did. Sorry, I did say I was going to end. This is the last point. You know, in Job chapter 14, verse 10, verse 17, this is a man, Job, that went through a lot of trials. We all know the story of Job. But did God restore Job's fortunes? Yes, he did. And Job's latter was even better than the former. But you know what amazes me about what God said about Job? He said that the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. We can stop there. You know, in this time of shaking, God wants us to rise up and pray. Pray for the nation that you're in. And if God leads you to pray for other nations, so be it. Because another scripture that Pastor took us to, I believe, is in Peter. It says that that scripture said that God wants us to live peaceful and quiet lives. But that scripture before that said you should pray for kings and people in positions. In a time of shaking, God wants us to pray for our nations. And in a time of shaking, God wants you to be part of what God is doing in this time. Because I tell you, you know, I was just discussing with some people, say, oh, as long as me and my family are good or what have you. If you don't pray for the nations and they come with a new law that says every Christian must not go to church, or in the workplace, every Christian, you must celebrate, let me not say it, you know what I'm going to say, you must celebrate all these funny things, what would you do? That's why I said We must learn to enjoy our life even in the time of shaking. I don't know what can happen, but what if they said, well, you've got to celebrate this in this workplace or else you'll be sacked. You cannot be found going to church or else you'll be imprisoned. If you're found logging onto church on YouTube, we have everyone's WhatsApp and data. What will you do? So in the time of shaking, God wants us to live a righteous life, which is just believing in him, believing in what he says, and do not fear, because we do not live our lives like those who do not know the times and seasons. We are informed. We know what Matthew chapter 24 says. So in closing today, because I think it's quite hot in here, what have we looked at today? We've looked at, this is how I truly enjoy and live the life God gave me. Number one, know that you're in God's will already. Just because it doesn't look like that perfect picture, you are in God's will, because the steps of the righteous man is ordered by God. And even we saw as Jesus lived his life, it didn't look like he was in God's will, but he was in God's will. Then number two, we looked at enjoy your trials. Don't say, when God answers all my prayer, then I'll be happy. No, no, enjoy your trials. Even in the face of storm, see how Jesus reacted to the storm on the boat. Then we looked at enjoy your life in the time of shaking. Living a righteous life, just believing God. Believing what God has said about you as a righteous man in this time of shaking, in these end times. Looking at the importance of even praying for your nation in this time. Looking at that prayer that Job did. Job, in his trial, he prayed for his friends. And the Bible says God restored his fortunes twice. And I think we'll rest there. Amen. Amen. Let's just rise up just to close this in prayer. Thank you. I'd like us to pray this prayer from Psalm 37 that we read earlier on. Verse 23 and 24, it says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. As long as you delight in God, in this year 2025, God is ordering every one of your steps. And in verse 24, it says, though that man may stumble, he can never fall. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. If God is holding you, who is that person that can pull you out of God's hand? Just want to say, Father, Lord God, even at this critical point, we've come into exactly, I think, the half of the year. We're rounding up in the half of the year. Father, Lord, help me to remember your word. When I work, when I walk, let your words come to me. Let me know that wherever I find myself in right now, whatever situation I find myself, let me know, according to your word in Psalm 37, that because I delight in you, you have ordered my steps. Let's just begin to pray that prayer from our hearts this morning. Let's say, Father, Lord God, I align my mind with your word this morning to say, yeah, I know that I can enjoy my life in you. I can enjoy my life in you regardless of what life looks like today. Because you said, he that delighteth in you, you have ordered his steps. And though he may fall, you will uphold him with your hand. Father, I thank you, Lord, because you have upheld CFT Bristol Church in your hand. Thank you, Lord, because I am in your will. Father, I silence the voice of the enemy that comes to say that that prophecy upon your life has immaterialized. That word of God you're waiting on, God, has immaterialized. We silence the voice of hell this morning in the name of Jesus. The word of God says, trust in the Lord and you will not be put to shame. The Bible says they looked to him and their face was radiant. Oh God, I thank you, Lord, because Jesus, as long as I'm in your will, everything is working together for my good. Romans 8:28 says, everything, doesn't matter if the doctor said you're sick, doesn't matter what letter you received in the post this week, the Bible says all those things, whether it may be trials, whether it may be negative things, it said everything works together for good for those who are called by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, because we are called of the Lord. The word of God says, Abraham believed and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Father Lord, even in this time of shaking, Father Lord, we will enjoy our life in the light of shaking. We will live a righteous life, oh God. And may these words that we heard this morning, let it follow us throughout this week, throughout this year, and every word that comes from the throne that God has put in the heart of Pastor Benson. May we eat it. May it store up and give us life like a fountain. Amen. In our souls in the name of Jesus. Amen. The devil will not come and steal the word from our hearts. The distractions of this world will not choke it up in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.